God is not limited in his power. He is all-powerful. We don't say he is mighty, we say he is almighty. He's a God that is powerful. Not only is he powerful on the outside, but he is powerful in you. God and his power resides in every believer that wants to believe and trust in him. And as believers, you and I should desire to tap into the power of God. We should want his power flowing in and through our lives. I want that power that Elijah had. And he said, let the God who's God answer by fire, and fire came down from heaven. I want that power and confidence to hold the staff over the sea and the sea splits. I want that power and confidence that believes God that the walls are going to fall and the walls fall. I want that power and confidence in God that I know that the lion's mouths will be shut and the fire cannot quench or cannot burn or cannot consume those who are sitting in it. I want that power that Jonathan said that God is able to not just save by few or not to save by many, but he is able to save by few. I want that power that David tapped into, and he said, you come to me with a spear and a sword. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And that Goliath fell, that giant fell, because he tapped into the power of God. God's power is at work in our lives and in our hearts. God is engaged in our lives and in our hearts. We can be troubled on every side, yet not in distress, because God gives power. We can be perplexed, but not in despair, because God gives power. Persecuted, but not forsaken, because God gives power. Cast down, but not destroyed, because God, his power, is at work in our lives. Now, you need to know that God moves in our life as much as we allow him to. God is a gentleman. He will never force his way in. He will never make you do what he wants you to do. He is a gentleman. He will come to you in a soft way or in a powerful way, but when God comes to you, it'll be the right way in which he comes to you, because he knows how to come to you. And when he comes to you, you have to let him do what he wants to do. God isn't going to do anything if you don't let him. He comes by invitation. When you gave your heart and life to Jesus, you said, Lord, forgive me of my sins, and you invited him into your life. Christ took his abode in your life through God, because God gave him that. He gave his life for you. He died for you, and the power of God now is at rest in our lives. We tap into that power by allowing God to move in our lives. God has no limitations. He is not limited in his power. His ability is beyond measure. There's nothing he cannot do. Can somebody say amen? Amen. There is nothing he cannot do. Can he still heal the sick? Yes, he can. Can he still raise the dead? Yes, he can. Can God still do mighty miracles and stop the mouths of lions and quench the fire? Can God still bring fire down from heaven? Yes, he can. There's nothing God is limited in. But get this, dear believers, he is only limited in our lives because we have limited him. We have not allowed him to have his reign in our lives. He must be God in full reign of our lives. If you allow him, he will show you how powerful he is. But the reason why we don't see his power is because we don't allow him to perform miracles and things in our life. Jesus came to his own town of Nazareth, and when they got there, they said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Joseph's boy? Isn't that Mary's son? And Jesus said, the Bible says he wasn't able to do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They limited Jesus. Jesus was not limited at all. He didn't lose power the moment he walked into Nazareth. He still had power. He could still heal the sick, raise the dead, and do great miracles. Jesus didn't lose power. The power was lost because they refused to believe. They refused to receive. They refused to allow. So know this, believers, that God is a gentleman, and when he moves in your life in a powerful way, it'll be because you allowed him to. It'll be because you want to tap into it. Paul said, be strong in the Lord, and then in the power of his might. Don't just be strong, but be strong in his power. His power, his might, his glorious power. God is engaged in your life. The fact that the Bible, Paul preached this word to the Ephesian church and said, in the power of his might, that phrase literally means that God is involved in your life. Do you still believe that God walks with you, talks to you? You still believe that the Holy Spirit is there to comfort you and guide you? He is. He is still there to do that. The Holy Spirit's still moving in our lives and hearts. I believe with all my heart that I'm thankful for what God did for Peter, but God can do it in me too. God didn't stop doing his powerful works because the disciples are gone or because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. His powerful works are still moving in God's people who believe that he will do those works in them. God is equipping us for the journey. God has not left you to overcome by yourself, but he says, I'm going to give you the power to overcome. He said, I'm going to give you the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they will be mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That means that God is engaged in your life. Somebody answer the phone. Or go outside, one of the two. I don't know what it is. Or turn it off. I don't care. Just do something with it. So, yeah, you're distracting me, and that's not good. Amen. The Lord's calling you. He wants you to know he's got all power. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some people don't think that God's power will be at work in them, but you got to understand that God's power is God wants his power to work in you. We have to desire his power to be at work in us. Now, I want to give five quick, definite reasons why God is engaged in the believer's life. Because listen, God is engaged in your life. And the devil will tell you that God doesn't want anything to do with you. That you've made mistakes or you failed. And so therefore, God's not going to be engaged in your life. But here's five definite reasons that God is engaged in your life. And the first one is simple. His relationship to the saint. He has a relationship with those that call him Lord and Savior. I am not just anybody. I am a son. I am a son, and you might be a daughter or a son of God. God has grafted you in. You are a part of the family now. You're not an orphan. You're not fatherless. You have a father this morning. He's your heavenly father. There's a relationship. You have a relationship with God. And that's not just it. That's not something we should just say and just move on. You really have something of power in your life because God said, I am in your life as your heavenly father. He's not just Elohim, God in the heavens. He's not just Jehovah Jireh back in the Old Testament. He is more than that. He is involved in your life. He is engaged in your life. We have a heavenly father. Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly father give good gifts? The role of the father is to provide the necessities for life. God, your heavenly Father, provides you with the power to overcome and to do the will of God in your life. It's amazing when a mother can hear a baby crying despite all the noise around, all the noise that's going on in here. It's amazing. There'll be 10 babies in that back room, and a mother can hear her child cry amongst 10 other babies crying. It's absolutely amazing. How much more does your heavenly Father know what you need and hear your cry when he knows you, created you, and fashioned you, and formed you, did all that he has done to bring you in close to himself? He wants a relationship with you. Number two, his love for the saints. He loves you. If there's anything I have to sink home all the time is that God loves you. God is love. God loves you. God doesn't love you because you're a gift to Christianity. God doesn't love you because you're perfect, because if that was the case, none of us could be here. God didn't love you because you had it all together and God said, this one's got it figured out. I'm gonna save this one and I'm gonna use this one. That's not why God saved you. God so loved the world. Love is what motivated God to be in your life. God's not looking for you to stamp a list of do's and don'ts and, oh, I've been perfect and great. No, God knew you weren't perfect. God knew you weren't great. You were a fixer-upper when he bought you. You were falling apart when he came to you. You were a wreck when he stepped into your life. And guess what? You weren't perfect after he did come into your life. God began to work on you, develop you, and move in your life. Somebody answer the phone. Whoever it is, step outside. Praise the Lord. God's love is his power in motion in your life. God our Father so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The sacrifice of God's Son shows us how much he loves us. His sacrifice is the example of his love. Jesus loved you when he died on the cross. Jesus loved you when they put him in the tomb. God loved you when they mocked and ridiculed his Son. But that's God's love, because he loved you, not because you were good. He doesn't look at you. He looks at his Son. It's his Son that gives him the power of love there. As a natural parent, we rejoice when we see our children and the attributes passed down to them and our children are successful. So much more does God rejoice when he sees his Son working his way in your life. God loves you. God doesn't love you because you're perfect. He loves you because he just loves you. His everlasting covenant, God's covenant, engages his power on our behalf. God has made a covenant to be in your life. He has covenanted with you. And that covenant is written in the blood of his own Son. And because he wrote it in the blood of his own Son, it's an everlasting covenant. It's not a covenant that ends. It's eternal. It's a covenant that has written your name in the Lamb's book of life. You're not just anybody, my dear friend. You have a heavenly Father, and the devil knows that when you tap into that power, he's in trouble. The enemy knows that when you tap into the power of God, that there's not much he can do about it. He knows that he might bring you down low, but if God steps in, he's going to bring you back up. He knows that you can't, that he can't overcome you because of the covenant that he's made with you. That covenant is written by the blood of Jesus Christ. And by and through this covenant, the power of God is released in your life. And only by that. The scripture tells us that the covenant God makes is not going to be a law written. It's going to be laws written in your heart. Now you serve God in a different manner. Now you serve God with love. Now we love the Lord our God with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength. That's the covenant, an everlasting covenant. The fourth thing is God's self-imposed obligation. God has obligated himself to be involved in your life. He said, I will never leave you. God is a man of his word. He does not retract from it. Matter of fact, Jesus said, this world will pass away, but his word will last forever. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. When you're in the fire, I'll be there. When the floods come, I'll be there. God said, I'm going to be there. And if God said he's going to be there, he is there. God has imposed an obligation upon himself by his own word. He said, I'll be your shield. I'll be your buckler. He said that he'll never leave forsake you. He's the one who walks with you. Jesus said, I'm going to make intercession for you, but when I go away, the Comforter's going to come. He's going to guide you and walk with you and equip you and strengthen you. That power is released by God's self-imposed obligation. He obligated himself by speaking these words. The fifth and final thing is his interceding Son. Jesus said, I'm going away that I might make intercession for you. I'm going away to intercede for you. And he said, I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father and intercede. And that's where Jesus is today. You want to know where Jesus is? He's at the right hand of the Father, and he's fighting for your behalf. He's interceding for you. And Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away. Now get this. Why is it expedient that he goes away? It's expedient for a couple reasons. One, he serves us better at the right hand of the Father. Because on earth, while he's walking on this earth, he was ministering to 12 men, and those 12 men got close to him. But Jesus said, when I go away, the Comforter's going to come. I'm going to send him to you. So the first reason that he had better serves us in heaven is because he's interceding for you and on your behalf and fighting for you and combating the enemy. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren, but Jesus is the supporter of the brethren. The second reason is he released the Holy Ghost in your life. The Spirit of God came down in Acts chapter 2, and not just there, but he's coming down in anyone who says, I want more of you, God. The Holy Spirit comes down. So his interceding son. Now, I want you to catch this, that God is involved in your life. If you don't, you'll never tap into power. If you believe God's up there, but not in you, if you believe God is over there or in them, but not in you, you'll never tap into that power. You need to believe that God is engaged in your life. Number two, you need to know that to tap into the power of God, you do it by acts of faith. By your acts of faith, we tap into the power by our acts of faith. Go to the next one, sis. We're just not going to answer the phone. I just figure, whatever. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, it is.
Really?
That's you.
Are you kidding me?
I found it. Of all people. Oh my gosh, Brother Sky, I love you so much. We tap into the power of God by our acts of faith. You must be persuaded. The first thing you need to know with our acts of faith is that faith is persuaded that God is able. I believe God is able. Do you believe God is able? Is his power limited today? Is he limited in power? No, his power is not limited today. God can stop the sun if he wants to, crush the walls if he wants to. God could put an end to everything if he wants to. He's the Almighty. He's all powerful. There's nothing hindering God's power. But you and I must be persuaded. Paul said, I am persuaded that he is able. We must be persuaded in his ability. God can, God will, and God does. Do you believe that this morning? That God can, God will, and God does. Thank God for what he did yesterday, but I want you to know I'm persuaded he can do it today. Thank God for what he did in Paul's life, but he's not limited to Paul. He can do it in you. He can do it in me. God is not limited in his power. He is all powerful. And because of that, we must be persuaded. There's a different mentality in the people who are persuaded. If you believe it and you're persuaded, there's a different mentality in you. The battle the enemy brings our way will often sway our persuasion. Oftentimes, we will rely on our feelings and not our faith. Feelings and faith oftentimes don't walk together, my dear friend. You have to learn that what you feel may not necessarily be what you're believing for. What you're feeling will oftentimes try to take away what God can do, and what you're feeling will oftentimes try to decrease your faith instead of increase your faith. You have to trust God, not what you feel, but what you know. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. I know he will. And because I know this, I am persuaded that he'll do it. We as believers cannot operate off feeling. I can tell you right now, Gideon didn't feel like taking 300 men against a 135,000 man army. But it's not about feelings, my dear friend. It's about faith. Abraham didn't always feel like being a nomad, walking around in a desert, but it's not about what he felt, it's about his faith. We don't have written in the Hebrews chapter 11 the heroes of feelings. We have heroes of faith. Faith. By faith, they quenched the fiery darts. By faith, they subdued kingdoms. By faith, they overcame the enemy. By faith, they trusted in God. And it is impossible to please him unless you believe that he is able to do that. You must believe it. By faith, we believe. Faith in God to say, God, you can, you will, and you do right now. You must believe that his almighty power will come to your defense. God, his power is to defend you. You cannot defend yourself. You couldn't heal a fly from a headache. You couldn't do anything without God. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You cannot, but he can. And so he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We are not strong in our might. We are not strong in ourselves. It is not by might nor by power, but it is by his spirit, saith the Lord. His spirit. And we tap into the power of God. He is defending us. He is defending us. We need to trust him. God's record is good. His credit is good. He has not failed you yet. He will not start today. God doesn't fail his people. If I was to let just one of you testify about what God did in your past, we'd be here all night long. Just one of you. And if God did it for you, he's not going to stop doing it for you. And if God did it for you, guess what? He'll do it for me too. God still performs miracles. He still defends. But oftentimes, we lose our trust that he'll defend us because of the circumstances or the feelings that we're feeling at the moment. Think about this. God said that his hand was not waxed short, but he was powerful enough to do it. God said that. But when Jesus came to Lazarus's home and Mary and Martha, their brother had been dead for 4 days and in the grave, Mary limited Jesus to time. Lord, had you been here? 4 days ago, you could have healed him. 4 days ago, he was still breathing. There was a chance. There was a chance for a miracle 4 days ago. You're just a little late, Jesus. You came 4 days too late. Martha limited him to place. Lord, had you been here? Had you been here? Listen, Jesus isn't limited in his power by place or time. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Roll back the stone. And when the stone was rolled back, Lazarus come forth. And time and place had no power, but Jesus had all power. Amen? Jesus had the power, and Lazarus come hopping out of the tomb. Despite their unbelief, despite the fact that they figured this is a limitation that Christ cannot do, God still showed him he could. Aren't you glad that when you're stubborn, none of you are stubborn, right? When you're stubborn, that's when God shows up and says, let me show you. God is not, I'm thankful for that because there are times where I've been stubborn and I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. And the Holy Spirit comes in and shows me that he is still capable and able. And all that does for you and I, believers, is we can trust him more. We know he will because of what he did. So if I'm going to testify, I'm going to say yesterday, he was so good. And I'm going to tell you today, because of what he did yesterday, he's going to be good today. He's going to be powerful. Because of what he did yesterday. We trust him despite our present dilemma. Number three, obedience. You must understand that obedience unlocks the power in your life. Obedience unlocks power. But you will not tap into power walking outside of an obedient heart. You must be obedient to the Lord. You walk in obedience to him, the power is released in your life. Let me remind you, I've said this several times and I'll say it till I die. The moving of the Holy Spirit, all the miracles that transpired in the book of Acts, that transpired in the Bible, every single miracle transpired with somebody doing his will. Every one of them. You'll never read a story in the Bible about a man not doing the will of God and a miracle happen. The miracles happen because people obeyed God. They followed God. Think of it. Samson lost the power when obedience left his heart. We tap into power through obedience. God instructed Joshua. He said, put the Ark of the Covenant on the shoulders of the priests. And when they step into the Jordan River, the river will cease and you walk across on dry ground. And when Joshua got the priests, they got the Ark on their shoulders. The Bible said they stepped into the water and the water quit flowing and started heaping upon itself, heaping and heaping. And they took stones out of the middle of the Jordan River and they made a pile of them out on the other side. And Joshua said, when your kids ask, what are these stones about? You remind them of what God did here at the Jordan River. But get this, the river would not stop until the priest did what God said. You must understand that the power of God is based upon your obedient heart. Do you believe? Do you trust? And do you want to please him? Scripture says that God preserved David because of his obedience. The Bible, James said, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. The power of resisting is in submitting. You submit to God, you've got power to resist. Think of the seven sons of Sceva, who stood in front of a demonic man who was demon-possessed in the book of Acts. These seven sons watched Paul, and Paul rebuked devils, and he rebuked him in the name of Jesus. He said, in the name of Jesus, come out. And demons just came out and did all, and they were so taken by this that they figured the power of God was in the formula. And so they said to the demonic, the person that was demon possessed, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out of him. And the demon said, I know Paul and I know Jesus. I don't know you. And the demon jumped on the seven sons, and the Bible said they ran away naked. Talk about some shame. They ran away naked because the power of God is not in the formula. Just because you know how to pray over somebody and give it an old fancy prayer and from the top of their head to the soles of their feet in the name of Jesus, that don't mean nothing, amen? It means nothing. Just because you got some fancy prayers or you know you got some fancy words, that means nothing. Obedience! Obedience brings power into our life. When we walk in that holiness, we walk in righteousness, we walk as God has called us to walk, you can count on the power of God being in your life. Go ahead, give him praise. There are occasions for using the power of his might. Three occasions, I will be quick, when you're overwhelmed by sin. Well, that's not when God wants his power wants to flow through me. That's what the devil says to you. God said, I loved you. I guess I gotta go back to the beginning. He loves you. He made a covenant with you that he would never leave you nor forsake you. He knew that you would struggle. He knew that you would have shortcomings. He knew that you would not be able to do certain things. He knew that you would lack the power to overcome. So he said that you're going to trust in his power and his might. That's what he said. So when you get overwhelmed by some sin in your life, you tap into the power of God to overcome the sin that is overwhelming you. I used this example earlier. Can I use it again? Sister Martha, when she got saved, she had a past. Can you believe that? I mean, of all things, right? Had a past. None of you have any of those. Just her. And Sister Martha had a past. She struggled horribly with cigarette smoking. It was something that was that plagued her. Well, when she got saved, guess what? It didn't just fall off. Somebody say amen. Because there are some things in you that when you got saved, it didn't just fall off. It was still in you. The patterns of this old sinful life was still in you. And I remember when she tapped into the power to overcome. It was somewhere around right here on this altar. All of a sudden, I'm watching and I see cigarettes come sliding through off the onto the pulpit area. Cigarettes, poof. We seen this box of cigarettes, and I looked at my wife. I go, "There's cigarettes on the pulpit, Terry. Cigarettes are on the pulpit. Pulpit, Terry, cigarettes." From that time, she said, "God, I give it to you." That was hard, wasn't it? It wasn't easy even after that either, because you have to tap into the power. You have to know that God's power is for you. And she said, "God, I'm going to trust you to give me more power than these in my life. I'm going to trust you that you're going to give me that power to overcome." And she overcame that because of that. When you get overwhelmed by some besetting sin, tap into the power. But here's another thing. Temptation tries to lure you. My dear friend, you are not exempt from temptation. You are not exempt. Temptation will do its best to lure you out and to segregate you and to destroy you. Temptation is not a sin. Yielding to the temptation is a sin. But yet we are all tempted from time to time. How many have ever been tempted to quit? Everybody better raise their hand, I'm telling you. Hey, how many have been tempted to go back to your old life? How many have worked in ministry and you said, "I quit"? All of us face temptations. All of us do, and temptations wants to lure you away. But there's a power in God to overcome the temptations. What you are feeling through temptations, tap into the power of God and overcome the temptations. Here's one that fits everybody that works for the Lord. When the duties of Christian living become burdensome. Have you ever been burdened? You ever felt heavy? Have you ever been wondering where the Lord is on your behalf, where you're going through something? You're just heavy in your spirit, heavy in your heart. Have you ever been in a church service? Everybody else is getting blessed but you. Okay, I guess you're not here. Because I can tell you that happens to me. There are times where the serving the Lord and working for the Lord becomes cumbersome. It's burdensome. You're carrying a burden. You're carrying a weight. It's something you're doing, you're dealing with. And you need the power of God to continue. To continue. You know how many times I wanted to quit being a pastor? Oh my gosh. It's at least 3 times a year. It's at least. Lord, I'll go work 40 hours a week. I'm good. 40 hours a week. I'll go work 40 hours a week. I've told the Lord that several times. But then I come back to this point. God's called me. God's asked me to be here. God's wanted me to be here. I got to stay here in obedience. I got to stay in the pulpit in obedience. I got to work in obedience because that's where the power is. That's where God wants me to be. And so sometimes all of us go through times where we want to quit, give up, and not live the life that Christ is calling us to live. That's when the power of God is necessary. Have you ever been at the bottom of your barrel and God's power brought you out of the barrel? Have you ever been struggling and God pulled you out of a struggle? Have you ever been sick and God healed you? Have you ever been falling apart? Your home, your life, your job, whatever, and God stepped in and all of a sudden you saw Him. That's the power of God. We need that. Now I'm going to end with this and I promise I'm done. Four reasons. Okay, four reasons. Why the power of God power of God's might is sometimes hidden. Sometimes, as we are living and working for the Lord, sometimes His power may seem absent. And there are several reasons for this. One, you could be overlooking it. You didn't look for it. You didn't seek for it. I can tell you right now, when I am in a desperate time, I'm looking for His power. I'm seeking for His power. I'm desiring His power. I'm thoroughly sweeping the floor until I find the coin. I'm looking and seeking and searching. But many times we can overlook seeking the Lord. Last night, my body, I just got, I don't know what's going on. I was so sick like a week ago. And then last night, I had fevers again. And I'm like, oh, no, dear Jesus, please. And so I had some leftover amoxicillin. The first thing I did was went to the pill bottle, the amoxicillin. I'm like, oh, you know, please, God, please. No, you know. And I just didn't feel well. And then I woke up in the middle of the night, and that's when I prayed, Lord, help me. And in my mind, I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit or me, you know. Well, why didn't you ask him first? Why didn't you ask him first? I don't know. I just didn't think about it. Yeah. So there are times that we overlook the power. You want to know why there were so many miracles? I don't know if my date's going to be right, but probably in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and maybe even the 60s, there was a lot of miracles that happened in our country back in those days. And those miracles happened because they couldn't find doctors to get to them in time. And so they cried out to God. There are many, many children who were healed miraculously from sicknesses they should have died from because God showed up in their lives and in their hearts. And because parents prayed and asked God for his power. Don't overlook the power of God. Sometimes God's power is delayed on purpose. Like with Lazarus, Jesus purposely did not show up. Don't you like it when he does that? That makes you go, yahoo, right? He didn't show up right when I thought he should. But here's the thing. He may not show up on your time, but he's always on time. Amen? He may not come when you want him to or how you want him to, but he's always going to show up. He shows up. Do not think that his absence is that he's forsaking you. Sometimes he purposefully delays his power. Don't let your impatience accuse God of negligence. Let me say that again. Don't let your impatience accuse God of negligence. Sometimes God will delay his coming because he is strengthening you through resistance. If you know anything about building muscles, men in here that like to work out or build muscles, you know that you only build muscles by resistance. You resist with the curl bar and you resist with the bench press and you work out those muscles, and by resistance you build those muscles. Faith is the same thing. God strengthens your faith through the resistance. So he says, I'm going to delay my coming so that I can strengthen them in this area. So they can be stronger than they were yesterday. So God sometimes will delay for that. It's like a mother teaching her child to walk. She knows that that child can't walk, but she puts that child on there and then she steps away and she says, now come on, baby, come on. Come on. You can do it. And that little baby falls down on the ground, right? How many parents know what I'm talking about? That baby falls down on the ground, and that mama doesn't go, oh, no! That mama goes, let's try that again. Come on now, get up there. Come on, come on, baby, come on, come on. You know, you're teaching that child. God is teaching some of you how to walk when you are in a place that you don't feel his presence. Sometimes he wants to use the trials to get for us to see his power rescuing us. Man, God literally led the children of Israel to a Red Sea. He led them there. Penned the children of Israel in by mountainsides, a Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army behind. God did that. If I was going to try to get people to escape, I would think of a better plan than pinning them in a Red Sea. But that's not God. God led them there and then showed the children of Israel that where I lead you, I can keep you. No matter where it is, no matter how tough it is. Now, number three is this. The hindrance could be in yourself. Lack of obedience in your life. A lack of faith in your life. A desire. You're desiring other things than God. This happens a lot sometimes when we want something else outside of the Lord. You can be hindering yourself, hindering God's power. I'm always fascinated when I listen to the newscast. They'll say, well, where was God when all these shootings happened in the schools? Oh, he's right where you put him. He's out of the schools. There's no prayer in school. You got rid of it. I can't even come preach there. I can't even come. There was one teacher wanted me to come and give my testimony to the entire student body of how God saved me and changed me. And she went to the principal, and the principal said, well, he can come and talk about you know, drugs and all those things that God delivered and how and all that stuff, but he can't talk about Jesus. And I told her, I go, my testimony is all about Jesus. That ain't gonna work. Amen. That ain't gonna work. But many people say they blame God when they haven't even asked God to be involved. It can be in yourself. So you have to search your own heart to know that. And here's my final point, and then I'm done. Say amen. Some of you were real excited about that. God may be calling you to persevere. God may be calling you to persevere. Sometimes God puts us in a lion's den, and we don't know why we're there. Sometimes he puts us in a fiery furnace, and we don't know why we're there. Sometimes he sells us into Potiphar's house, and then he puts us in a prison, and we don't know why we're there. We don't understand it, but God has asked us to persevere. The Bible says, to them that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. There is an endurance to this walk in Christ. Be willing to persevere, because it's not going to always be easy, my dear friend. It's not going to always be a piece of cake. It's not going to always be the Holy Ghost falling in every service and you just feel good, 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 good. It isn't always going to be like that. There are going to be times in your life where you battle sicknesses, or you battle diseases, or you battle things in your mind and your heart. I know good Christians that struggle with depression. I know good Christians that struggle with anxiety. I know good Christians that struggle in their body physically. I know good Christians who struggle with accepting the fact that God loves them. I know good Christians that have a lot of struggles in their life, but it doesn't change this. God is still involved in their life, and God wants them to persevere no matter what they are facing. Your struggle is no excuse to quit. Your struggle is no excuse to quit. There is power in Jesus Christ. There's power to overcome, power to succeed. God has given us power. So Paul said, finally, my brethren, I got to settle this in your heart. You got to know this. Be strong in the Lord. But not just in the Lord, in the power of his might. He is powerful. He is powerful, but he's not just powerful out there. He's powerful in you. Amen? He is powerful in you. Amy, would you come to the piano? Can we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We thank you that we have the advantage this morning, that the enemy cannot win. He cannot defeat us because you are with us and you are for us. God, you have obligated yourself. You have given your covenant. You love us. You've created a relationship with us. Your son is interceding for us, God. You, God, have given us the power to walk with you, God. We walk by faith and not by sight this morning. We focus our attention, our heart on you. We set our affections on you. Help us, Lord, to walk worthy. Help us to tap into that power. Let that power be in our hearts and be in our lives. God, move in this place. Move in this place. Move in this place. This morning, maybe you're going through something and you were just at the end of your rope, ready to quit. Maybe you've been tired, burdened down, heavy laden. God said, I'm going to give you the rest you need. Whatever you're facing right now, if you need something from the Lord, I don't want you to leave without taking some time to be with God. Would you find a place in these altars? Seek the face of God. If you're not right with the Lord, your heart's not where it belongs, and you haven't surrendered to the Lord, come surrender. Come surrender. Give it to the Lord this morning. Give it to the Lord. Give your heart to Him. Let Him come into your life. Invite him into your situation, and he will surely see you through. So if you want to come pray, you can come right now. If you have to be dismissed, we want to say we love you and God bless you. We appreciate you. I hope the Lord's encouraged you. Remember, God is with you. God is for you. God loves you, and his power is for you. Take advantage of it. God bless you. God bless you.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.